Welcome, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Be comfortable. Hi, Claire. Welcome to newcomers and welcome to old comers. Settled, you can let your eyes close and know that you're not alone. And don't do anything. Don't change anything, just, well, let whatever creates your thoughts take care of your thoughts. And let whatever creates your bodily sensations, your feelings, take care of those. Let whatever creates the sound of this voice take care of the sound of this voice. It's just more relaxing that way, right? And be open to the possibility that the creator of your thoughts and your bodily feelings and the sound of this voice and the weather is the same. Invisible creator. So if the thought is arising that's trying to sort of think about what I'm saying, you can just hand that thought over. Or you can entertain that thought, but either way, it's being taken care of. You don't have to control anything. You never do control anything, but we certainly are very good at entertaining the illusion that we are in control. Just be open to the possibility that there isn't somebody here that can control and manufacture the next thought or the next feeling. Or the next breath. When I say there isn't someone, I mean there isn't a separate entity, a sort of isolated entity that can produce experience. Anyway, I don't want to go down a route of sort of philosophical reasoning. So just relaxing together with these possibilities. And as we challenge sort of experientially the existence of a controller, it means that we have to face the kinds of feelings that give rise to this sort of control. And the kinds of feelings are fear, anxiety, lack. When we're sitting on a beach on a lovely summer day and all is well, we're half asleep and we hear the lovely sounds of children playing in the waves, that usually the sense of control is relaxed. The sort of open availability, moment by moment. But there are other circumstances where it's not a beach setting, and there's more contraction, and there's more referring to the past, a painful past, and anticipation of a equally painful future, which sort of entertains a tightness at the level of thinking and feeling. And that's what we call the separate self. It's just a contraction, really. I say it's just a contracting, but it isn't, it's no small thing. I don't mean to be dismissive. It's a very deep-rooted habit. Therefore, here, in this moment where there's an invitation to relax this habit, it means that if there are such feelings that usually trigger the habit, they maybe could be allowed. And I'm talking about a very ordinary chronic feelings that we all have, one way or the other. We have our version. Right this moment, and now I'm talking more at the level of the body, of feeling. The very, very, very familiar, intimate feeling in the, I don't know, in the gut, in the throat. Around the eyes and the forehead. That if we were to read the label, would read I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to evoke it more than it already is. But I think you all know what I'm referring to in your own experience. Right this moment. Well, there's no need to read the label. Don't read the label, but rather just taste the thing itself. That usually would be avoided by an attempt at controlling. There's no right or wrong here. It's a descending into the wilderness of the body, saying yes to the raw language of the now. Of the now body. Of the now breath. You can sort of roam around this wilderness, tasting the places that are usually avoided. Just, you know, you go visit, you sit there and you experience the intensity, the ripple. And maybe then you don't spend too long there. You don't want to send the message that you don't want to feed that fire. You just want to taste it. Then you go to another fire, another place in the now body, another place you sit, maybe it's in your throat, in your heart area, in your teeth, doesn't matter, in your eye sockets, You just sit for a bit, let that particular experience speak. In its own language. And then onto another place, or not, at some point, welcoming the totality of the body rather than the particularity of the body. And whispering to this body, this now body in its totality, letting it know that it's welcome. That it's free to be as it wants to be, moment by moment. And maybe also letting it know that you know that you're not this body, that you're not limited to this body, and that therefore this body is free of that obligation of limiting you, which is a great deal of work for a body. So you tell your body, sweetheart, I know that I, what I truly am not limited or defined by you, which means that you need not be limited and defined. Just see what happens if this body is set free, and if you are set free. You can be I don't know what you can be. I don't really want to say. But your body, my body, our bodies can be free, moment by moment. Free-flowing. In your direct experience, your body right this moment has little to do with the image of your body or the memory of your body. And that's what your body enjoys, is to be free, to have little to do with anything, moment by moment, not have to conform, especially in meditation. When there are no demands, you don't have to cross the street, you don't have to drive your car, you don't have to to do something particular. You don't need your body to be sort of, you know, your tool. At this moment, the body is free to align itself to its true essential nature, which you could say is borderlessness, openness. Let it go. Let your body live in you rather than you in the body. The body in me. I am borderlessness, like the sky. The body dancing in me, like the clouds. No weight to the cloud body. Feel that. Allow that. It's not dangerous. The body in me, me the sky, and the body cloud-like. Cloud-like, the shoulders, the hips. Cloud-like, the place where the body meets the earth, soft. And if there's pain or a sense of tension in the shoulders, that can be cloud-like too. Cloud-like. You can breathe it in, cloud-like. Doesn't mean it doesn't have energy. Some clouds are like fire clouds. Feel your breath. The wave of the breath, the in-breath, the out-breath. Don't have a feeling of where the breath is or who the breather is. Just a bit like the body in me, the breath in me. A ripple, the in-breath, the out-breath, a ripple. The pause at the bottom of the out-breath. The next ripple, fresh and new. The pause. The exhale. The pause. The inhale. The pause. Let the rhythm of the breath establish itself without you controlling it. The in-breath, the out-breath. The in-breath is a gift that is flowing through the channel of the body. No need to pull. And the exhale flowing the other way, maybe from top to bottom, no pushing. As soon as you revert to being the doer, the breather, just notice, taste what that is made of. And then come back to the feeling of breathing, effortless. With the exhale, you can offer your shoulders and your arms, your hips and your legs. Letting the exhale carry the weight that we hold. Letting the weight of the limbs become liquid. River body. Breath body. Cloud body, sky beam. Go gently with the resistance or the tension, or whatever fighting may be taking place. There might be a few battlegrounds in your experience right this moment. Don't change anything, really don't. It's more that if there's a battleground in the feeling in the body, you sort of recognize experientially that all around that area, it's gentle, it's kind. There's no judging. There's whatever is needed is available. If movement is needed, movement is available. If breath is needed, breath is available. If kindness is needed, kindness is available. Sometimes nothing is needed. Kind indifference, benevolent indifference. Let's add a little bit of movement, very gentle. Circles with the neck, very slow. You've placed the neck, the head, the shoulders in warm water. So the movement is so easy, smooth. Nobody doing it. Tasting, just tasting. Sensation of the neck and also the breath. The sound of Ellen's voice, whatever else, whatever other layer, and the openness. Now the other way with the neck and the head. be that sky, that sky beam in which this ripple arises. Now, without doing it, let the head and the neck come back to a alignment. See how it happens. Don't control it. Just be the openness and watch the head and the neck and the chin and the shoulders and the whole spine settle. Hello, body. It's like the body comes back to its home, which is the openness, and it's hugged by the openness. And everything that is held in the body can relax. Now we're going to move the shoulders and take them on a little cloud adventure. So first of all, move your forearms off your lap. Your upper arms stay alongside your torso, your hands completely relaxed. Feel your elbows. Don't see your elbows, just feel your elbows, and then feel your elbows are pushing your shoulders up towards your ears. Slow and smooth. It goes up, it goes up, it goes up, it goes up, it hovers. And now very slowly, without doing it, the shoulders floating back down. Smooth, you're the openness. Down, 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 down. No shoulders, just this flowing sensation. Down, down, more, down, down. Make sure the breath is free. Make sure the hips and the thighs and the whole legs are resting on a soft cushion. I bet the shoulders can come down a bit more. Back of the neck, licking the space behind. And again, the shoulders like two clouds, weightlessly moving up towards the ears. They're going up, going up, going up, going up. You're the openness, tasting, tasting. Make sure the breath is free. The jaw, the eyes. And now slowly the shoulders melting back down, smooth. No jerkiness. Going down, pouring the shoulders down. Going down. Liquid, heavy substance. Down, down, down. Ooh. Down, down. And then slowly, slowly letting your forearms melt back down into your lap. Don't do it. Let them disappear in you. Let them melt. Even once the hands touch whatever they touch, let them continue to dissolve. Dissolve, merging with whatever they encounter. The arms dissolving into the body into the earth. The body earth merging with whatever we want to call what's beyond that. Yeah, now let your spine collapse, round your spine slowly. Just the breathing, very relaxed, the belly. very sensual. Letting go of whatever is held in the belly, in the heart, in the throat, in the mouth, in the eyes. And feel your pelvis alive, the sort of base of your whole body. Feel the volume, the space of your pelvis. Feel your sexual center. Feel the contact of the pelvis with the earth. And when I say this, there's no obligation. If nothing happens, it's fine. But maybe something does happen. An awakening at the root of your body. And now very slowly feel the pubic bone rising up as if it was rising on top of your heels if you're sitting cross-legged. And now this line of energy from the pubic bone caressing the space in front as the torso unfolds. Don't make it happen. Just allowing it. It's not a big movement. The torso sort of flame-like, hovering towards an alignment that it is not mechanical. And then let your spine collapse again, rounding the spine like I don't know what, just a rounding of the spine. Be the openness. Caressing the whole torso. Caressing whatever is held in the front of the torso and the eyes. And now again, the pubic bone. From the pubic bone, a line of energy rising. It's a sensation, a caressing, a tactility rising the whole front of the torso, touching the space in front. Very gentle, no straining. That's too much work. Hello, space in front, says your face, says your throat, says your torso. Let your whole front of the body embrace the space in front. Doesn't matter if there's some pain here and there. Some tension, still there can be an embrace of the space in front. It's like if you see your very, very, very darling friend and you've got some pain in your back, but you see your friend, you embrace your friend and you still feel your open heart and the love for your friend, and there's a little bit of pain in your back. That's how it is right this moment. Feel the embrace. Or if you can't feel it, let the embrace feel you. One way or the other. There's embracing going on somewhere, which you are invited to. Yep, we're all invited. Okay, now Feel your torso, but it's not your memory of the torso. It's just this feeling that whatever the word torso refers to. And very slowly let that feeling, the torso, turn towards the left side very slowly. Ghost-like. Not a sound. And placing your hands one on top of the other on your lap or whatever, so that your shoulders and your arms can flow down through the surface contact of your hands. And your chin is dropping a bit. And then feel the whole posture like a cloud. Don't live inside the posture, but let the posture live in its home, which is openness. Let it be allowed to feel the openness that extends beyond it. Yes, embrace. It's an embrace. Everything is embraced, the tiny little micro tensions. Don't do anything. It's all okay. Okay, and off it goes, the torso towards the right side without you doing anything. You're just tasting it slow. And let the posture settle into itself. The hands, the arms, the shoulders. Empty the posture wherever it's willing to be emptied. And let the breath move free. And then you just let it be. Every time you encounter the resistance, just stay a bit. Wait a bit where you would ordinarily move away or step above or move around or whatever, just stay a bit. Let that resistance be another face of God. And the torso is coming back. Let it come back. Don't drive anything. Just be that place, this place to which the torso returns, and the arms, and the face, and the chin, and the shoulders, you're allowed to enjoy your borderlessness. and the rhythm of the breath. Feel your face. Let it come to life. Don't see your face, just feel your face full of sensations. There's lots going on in terms of sensations. It's a cacophony of sensations. The face, forehead, rippling, sensation of the eyes, cheeks, cheekbones, sensation of the nose and nostrils, your mouth, your lips. Very tactile, your lips, upper lip. Let it expand, let it dilate. Lower lip, relax. Lots of little bubbles of sensations in the lips. Letting your lips expand like a Yasser Arafat mouth, big mouth. Your chin, inside the mouth, lots of sensations inside the mouth. Let them come to life too. Sensation of the teeth and the gums. Gum, gum, gum. Feel the tip of your tongue. Quivering tongue. Feel the whole body of the tongue. And the root of the tongue back there. Don't manipulate them, you know, just whatever, whatever. Whole face. Scalp. Sensation of your hairs. Your ears. And then inside the skull, even feel possibly the sensation of your brain. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you can feel or hear the pulsation of the hemisphere, the left hemisphere. It's a loose exploration. Don't tighten your attention. The right hemisphere. Relaxing your attention, seeing whatever arises. It's irrational. These are just words and awakening and liberating the tactility of the face and the skull. Feel, I don't live behind the eyes or behind a mask in this moment. I've taken my mask off, including my hair. For those of us who have hair, and I'm letting my mask and my hair come undone. And your shoulders, by the way, they're sort of part of that too. Let them come undone. And the breath, always helping the breath. Enjoying the liberation of the body. So with the in-breath, you permeate the sensations of the face and of the skull with life force. And then the out-breath, it's like encouraging everything out into the openness. Not just the breath, just the coming and the going of the breath. Let the invisible breather take care of the breath. Which is always the case. But you can just be vigilant if the illusion of controlling the breath arises in the form of a pulling in or pushing out or grasping. And it's not punishable by law. When you notice, that's enough, just the fact of noticing, of tasting that particular habit is enough to liberate it or relax it. It's a labor of love, this yoga, not a labor of shaming or finger pointing. When there's a contraction, that contraction is a form of suffering, which is asking to be seen, to be welcomed, to be allowed. And it's true at every level. Just being together, don't do anything. Bathing in the kindness. Let's take 5 minutes and then we'll come back. Thank you. I have my video off. I didn't realize that. Doesn't matter. So, friends, welcome back. So for newcomers, this we just have a half hour where you're free to speak, either with a question or a sharing, not too long if it's a sharing, if possible. And yeah, so feel free, just wave or... Thank you for coming, mostly. And, you know, there's no obligation to say anything. It's a little bit sometimes abrupt, meditation and then talking. But anyway.
Hi, Helen. I had a wonderful experience, and I was thinking about when you were talking about in the beginning, open to the possibilities, just being open to the possibilities and going through the versions of our own now experience was really nice. I had, when we got to the world, going into the wilderness of the body, you know, the only thing I could do was, it was almost like it, I had to experience it through my own environment, like a painting of the desert that's, you know, it's out in near to, you know, Temecula area, the desert out of that way, or the ocean or the mountains behind me. And that was kind of more of a geographical, conceptual wilderness. But what wilderness should we be thinking of? Are you talking about the cloud wilderness, or maybe I'm out of line here?
No. Whatever your confusion is
my own experiences. That maybe I'm, yeah.
No, Janice, it's a good consideration. I mean, if I got you into thinking, that's my responsibility. Technically, if the meditation is, because we don't really want to get thinking, and so the word wilderness is meant to point towards a sort of non-conceptual and sort of unpredictable experience of the body, sort of a not knowing. And when you are with the body without any reference to what you know about the body, there is a wilderness to it, in the sense that it's a body, it's wild because it's alive, and life is wild, you know, by nature. Wild meaning untamed by separation, untamed by any agency of a separate self. So I can see that in your case, wilderness was very strongly evocative of a landscape of, you know, of the desert. Or, and in fact, it's not a bad stepping stone, because when we go to the body as a direct experience, we're going to textures, we're going to temperatures, we're going to sensations, you know, all sorts of, we have lots of words for what is in effect a very raw, direct, I don't know what to call it, experience. And that's what I mean by wilderness.
Thank you so much. I will.
But take it where it takes you. No, go where it takes you, really, because it's not prescriptive. It's not important. In the end, we're not really interested in the experience, the phenomenal experience. We're sort of trying to liberate our body of the felt sense of separation, but more than anything, we're interested in listening itself, in the listening itself, not what we're listening to, but the listening itself, which at some point we discover is the first face of what we are, you could say. That consciousness, the invisible essence, the consciousness, when it incarnates, its first phenomenal face is this open listening. This is just words that I'm not sure if they mean anything, and I hate talking like this.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you.
I hope it helps, yeah.
Oh, very much so. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hi, Michael.
Hey. Thanks for having us here. When I sit and the thoughts subside, the body tends to take center stage. And so do you recommend on the regular to lean into that, to scan it, or to make it cloud-like? Or just remain open to it.
When you say the body takes center stage, is it problematic? Do you mean that it's the suffering body that takes center stage?
No, just I become more aware of my breath, my heartbeat, some of the contact points. It's not a pain situation, it's just a presence.
Well, I don't recommend anything, you know. In other words, I'm guiding us during these meditations as a sort of exploration. The exploration is to recalibrate our felt experience of the body, that we are not a limited body, that the body is not limited and doesn't have to, blah, blah, blah. All the things that I said today.
Sure.
But what you're saying seems just the sort of natural experience of a body when you're sitting quietly and observing your experience, letting your experience unfold. And it sounds like it's not unusual for the body to take center stage, because you're not engaging with your thoughts as much when you're sitting quietly. Although this might not be the case for all of us. You know, some of us, when we sit quietly, that's exactly what we're doing. We're engaging with our thoughts. And so then the task is to, you don't have to stop anything, but you can witness the fact that there's engaging with thoughts or engaging with feelings. And I don't recommend anything in particular. It depends what you're interested in a way, Michael. What brings you here? What is it that you're
after? Well, this subject, so you just, as you said, took us through a meditation on the body, and this kind of a open exploration of it, but with some attention to it.
Yes.
Is that a good exercise for one to guide themselves through? Uh-huh. Or is that just introducing the narrative back in when it's already subsided and sitting?
You know, I would say, do engage in the ways that you feel drawn by deeply. So if this exploration resonated, and next time you sit, you feel like, oh, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes feeling I don't live in the body lives in me, because that really resonated, then by all means, you know, follow that. It's not anything that comes from our deep love of truth or our deep desire for truth can only lead us to truth. So there's no danger in sort of pursuing whatever resonates, but I wouldn't make a prescription of it. If when you sit, it's already peaceful, and you don't feel compelled to explore your experience in any way, I wouldn't impose that. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that directly answered my question. I suppose my follow-up is, it seems for me that the easiest thing is to allow the narration to subside, the language-based thought. Yeah. And then one is left, or I am left with perception. Yeah. You know, the light behind my eyes, the feeling of the body.
But you know what? What matters the most is that you are left with yourself, which is there, whether they're in the presence of the narrative and in the presence of the sense perception. So it's great, you know, like you sit and the narrative, the sort of storyline of the mind subsides, and then still a little bit more in the foreground, the realm of feelings and bodily sensations and everything. But in both cases, you, oops, my camera. Well, you can hear me. You awareness, you are present. And that's the main, I don't know why my camera's gone dead. Oh, here I am. That's really what matters. That's what you're interested in deeply. Right? Am I
yes. Right? Yeah. No, yes, yes. Well, I'm ultimately interested.
But Michael, I want to sort of validate what you're saying is that actually you could say that the body is one step closer. Why? Because the body, in a way, is in the now. You know, when we're with our sense perceptions and our bodily sensations, it's not about the past or the future. That's thought-based. The body's in the now. And the body is not know. When we're with the body, there's more of a not knowing. What I was trying to talk about with Jan is the wilderness. That so there's something about that that's a little bit closer to home, I want to say.
Yeah, it's the only thing happening, yeah. Right? It's what's right in front. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi.
Who is this? Amaya. Hi.
Hi. Amaya from Spain. And I just wanted to ask you about the experience of the pain, that some in the during this experience today, and other times as well, there are pains in the body that disappears, like being in the experience, there is no pain, but then there is pain again, so. Could you comment something about that?
You mean physical pain?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't really say, you know, I think the aim of this exploration is not to rid ourselves of pain.
Mm-hmm. No.
But sometimes because we are surrendering the body back to its tactile home, which is open and relaxed and kind and all these things, it can immediately relieve some pain because it's relaxing. Not always, because sometimes it's not, quite the opposite. It can reinforce pain for some people. Your doggy is...
My cat, I don't know what's happening. She's angry suddenly. Just like... like my question.
Were you following me, Amaya, or
I
was saying that sometimes this approach is not meant, is not, we don't do it in order to get rid of the pain, but sometimes the byproduct is a relieving of the pain because we're surrendering the body to something that is relaxed and open and kind. So yeah.
I was not trying to get rid of anything.
Yes.
Actually, it's just
an observation.
Observation.
Yeah.
And of course, when in a everyday life, the pain comes back, it's like, what is what?
Well, at the moment when the pain comes back, it's interesting to observe your reaction, you know, because it's not the pain that's problematic, it's the resistance to the pain. So when the pain, in a way, the most interesting yoga is the moment where the pain returns and you feel like, damn it, I did, you know, I did the yoga, the Kashmir thing, and yes. That moment is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because there it is, the resistance.
The resistance.
The preference, the comparing, we all do it, and this is the moment that needs the most kindness and the most openness.
Okay.
Not, it doesn't need a solution, because giving it a solution will just, oh, thank you, I have the solution, and then next time around that I'm disappointed, how come it, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's not about offering solutions, but rather really seeing that it's a moment of resistance, of saying, no, I don't like this, I want it another way. I'm just seeing that. Yeah. What is that made of? It's made of a belief. It's made of a feeling in the body.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was trying to understand if it was me or my thoughts, or that thought making again happen. You know, I think I was going.
Oops. Oh, you know what? I'm going to revert to my other. I don't know why my camera's not happy today. Let's. I think I might, you know, it's not you doing any of it, so you can relax. You're not creating the pain, and you're not taking the pain away as a separate self.
Yeah, of course.
We have no idea. Let me just take this camera away, and hold on, video, FaceTime. There we go. Oh no, okay.
Yeah.
Does that help, Amaya?
Yeah. Yeah. It's again seeing me as a separate. It's every time I see myself that's separate and divided.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, pain might, on a more relative level, there might be things to do about physical pain, you know. That's very valid, to explore all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just one last thing is that, at least in my experience, because during the yoga, as I guide you, I sometimes feel, you know, pain, and I noticed the first impulse would be to move on to something else, because avoid, but then I noticed that if I can just really take the label pain away, even sometimes pain isn't so bad. And if you take the label away, it relieves that sensation of having to be a pain. it doesn't know what it is. The mind doesn't tell it you're a pain, and then there's a little bit more opportunity for the pain to be something else. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's a little space that opens up and new pathways. I don't know if that helps, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's thanks.
It's cold in England.
Me too.
This is a healing moment. If there's any pain, just offer it to all these lovely little squares beaming there. Corinne, I'm going to give the mic to you and you can share gently a poem as you always do. If you want, and you don't have to, but I know you do. So just say for newcomers, this is part of the tradition that Corinne closes the meeting with an offering.
Hello. As is often the case, you took the poems I had thought to share and replaced them with some others. So here's what came as a result of the unfolding of the meditation. This is called Book of Genesis by Kai Miller. Suppose there was a book full of only the word left, from whose clipped sound all things begin. Fur and firmament, feather, the first whale. And suppose we could scroll through its path pages every day to find and pronounce a let meant only for us. We would stumble through the streets with open books, eyes crossed from too much reading. And we would speak in auto rhyme. The world would echo itself. And still we'd continue in rounds, saying let and let and let, until even silent dreams had been allowed. And then this poem is called Allow, from Dana Folds. There is no controlling life. Try corralling a lightning bolt containing a tornado. Dam a stream and it will create a new channel. Resist and the tide will sweep you off your feet. Allow and grace will carry you to higher ground. The only safety lies in letting it all in, the wild and the weak, fear, fantasies, failures, and success. When loss rips off the doors of your heart, or sadness veils your vision with despair, practice becomes simply bearing the truth in the choice to let go of your known way of being. Oh, practice becomes simply bearing the truth. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes. And then this is one that I had found to share, but I think it follows that one beautifully. And I don't think it has a title, but when the heart is cut or cracked or broken, do not clutch it. Let the wound lie open. Let the wind from the good old sea blow in to bathe the wound with salt and let it sting. Let a stray dog lick it. Let a bird lean in the hole and sing a simple song like a tiny bell and let it ring.
What do you mean it doesn't have a title?
Well, it is itself a title.
I love it. Did you write that?
No. No, that's by but I do love it. And it's Michael Looney.
One day will you read one of your poems, Corinne?
Okay.
That last one was really nice. I love that one. Thank you, Coco.
And you know, one of the ones that I did find is so funny and so great, and I loved it so much because, well, I'll just include it when I send them. Well, Okay.
Or say it.
Just quickly, it's fabulous. Okay. It's called Bear in Mind. And just hear this, Bear in Mind. A bear is chasing me through a meadow and I'm running as fast as I can, but he's gaining on me. It seems he's always gaining on me. I'm running and running, but also thinking I should just turn around and say, stop it. Stop chasing me. We both know you aren't going to catch me. All you can ever do is chase me. So think about it. Why bother? The bear does stop. And he sits on his haunches and thinks, or seems to think. And then the bear says to me, I have to chase you. You know that. Or you should. And sure, we both know I'll never catch you. So why not give us both a break and just stop thinking about me? But with that said, he gets back on 4 feet, sticks his long pink tongue out, licks down both sides of his snout. Then he sighs, looks behind himself, then at me, and says, okay, ready when you are.
Thank you, Coco. Perfect.
Let's not take oneself too seriously.
Definitely not. All right, everyone. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Coco. And there's no, thank you, everybody. There's no meeting next Tuesday, but in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Feel free to unmute if you want to say bye-bye out loud.
Bye-bye.
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 Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Ellen.
Simone. It's nice to see you, Simone. Leslie and Len is laughing. Hi, Carlo.
And just her Arafat's lips and bare lips.
Ciao, Ika.
Ciao, Maria.
Ciao. Hi, good night.
Good night.